of people, and but we're going to share a very short message on the next generation. So let's pray before we look at the scripture together. Let's pray. Father, we invite you to move among us as we sing about that you are Father, friend, and comforter. And we look to you for leadership this morning. And we depend on you to continue the kingdom among us, the church, bringing healing and compassion and hope and truth to this world. We are a light in darkness, and that's because you inhabit us. And we ask you again to may your blessing fall and may your blessing increase on the things that we're seeking to do here. And we ask just for increased favor on our kids' church and on our youth group and all the kids in those ages in this church. We ask that you would stir and move, and all the things we sang about this morning, just do those, Lord. Do those among the children of this church. We want to be as children this morning. I pray for your truth and encouragement and just filling as we look at your word now and recognize and pray for one another. So Holy Spirit, come among us. We thank you that we have kids in this church and that you are doing so much among our youth. So to that end, we bless your name and we welcome you. Speak, encourage in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read three scriptures, and I'll have these on the wall for us. The first is Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And I'm going to talk about raising the next generation and training our children. Whether you have children or not, you are responsible for helping train the next generation. And I love what Terry prayed about. As long as I'm here, I want to try. And this is Psalm 71, if you're taking notes. I want to see your glory come upon the next generation. And so all of us are part of that. We are the fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles of one another in the family of God. This is a beautiful passage. I've always loved this passage. And it talks about really where leading others to Christ starts, and that is in our homes. It's a lot of times we might think, well, the church is going to get my kid right and teach him about Jesus. And the church will help, but we get your kid 3 or 4 hours a week. You get your kid about 160 hours a week. So if you do the math, you have a tremendous opportunity to speak into their lives. And this is from the Old Testament. I'm going to read this to you. It says, "These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You will repeat them diligently to your sons and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." So this is one of the first encouragements, invitations, and mandates given to families, to parents, that your experience of God and your transmitting of that to your children is not something that just happens on Sunday morning. And if it was, it would be pretty fake, wouldn't it? Like, we go to this place once a week, we dress up and we do this thing, and then we go back to being a different way. That would be very hypocritical, and it would be a very much a religious exercise. But the ways of God are not that. The ways of God are, let this impregnate every part of your life. I love this. When speak of them, when you're sitting around in your house, when you're walking around on the road, when you're putting your kids to bed, and when you're getting your kids up. And having had 4 children, I can say that I have had thousands and thousands of conversations with my children about the things of God. We've talked about everything. And I would encourage you to talk to your children about everything. We've talked about why Jesus is necessary, why we need a Savior, what is sin. We've talked to our kids about why Jesus is different from every other religion, that we have a faith that is based on grace and the love of God, not works and the merit of men and women. We've talked about absolute truth, why truth must be absolute and why we believe in the scripture and that God says things that are truth. We've talked about healing. We've prayed hundreds of times for healing for one another and for other people. We've talked about money. We've talked about caring for the poor. We've talked about this is our tithe, and this is why we give, and this is why giving is important. This is what the church does with money. We've talked about suffering and why some people suffer, and other people seem to have it this way, and other people have it this way. We've talked about dreams and visions and experiences. Our children have watched us in the marketplace at Kroger and the library and on vacation at the jewelry counter, sharing the love of God with people in practical ways. And so this is a passage that's given to us, and I just want to encourage you, and I love the way Zoe puts it, I want to deputize you. It's not just the pastor or the leaders that have that calling, okay? It's all of us. You're creating an atmosphere in your home, in your influence, where Jesus Christ is king of everything. Your money, your food, your prayers, your pets, your hobbies, what's on TV, what's allowed on the internet, all of it. We are people, guys, that are walking in a very different way than the world is. And don't be ashamed of it, and don't be shy and bashful about it. And you might say, well, I don't want to be, you know, too hard. And it's like, well, your kids are going to be at an age one day when they're going to decide. But choose this day who you'll serve and do it well. The next passage I want to look at is 2 Timothy 2:2. This speaks of the invitation of us to make disciples of others. And Paul says this to Timothy, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. The things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will then be able to teach others also. So this is a call for us, and he says the things you've heard. So the things you've heard are the ways of God, and I just gave you about a dozen examples of things about the things of God that we want to teach to other people. And then there's this idea in this passage of the passing of the torch. If you look at this and you think about it, you have really four generations. You have Paul, who transmitted these things to Timothy, the things you heard from me. So the you is Timothy, the me is Paul. Okay, so you have Paul as the me, Timothy is the you. And then he says, entrust these to faithful people. So that's the third down the line. Paul, Timothy, faithful people. And then he says, and those people will teach others. So you have four generations. You have this passing of the torch of the transmitting and the teaching of the ways of God and the making of disciples. And that's what we are called as believers to do. We are called to share with one another the most all of it. I remember one of my kids in the real early days, we were singing in our house and we were just been to church. And one of my kids was playing with Legos or something. And I remember he was over in the corner singing, nothing but the puddle of Jesus. And I remember hearing that and just thinking, you know, like, God accepted that. Right? You know, because, you sing what you hear. Are you that way? You know? I sure am. And, you know, just realizing how just hearing a song, nothing but the blood of Jesus, and, you know, kids and adults, we sing what we hear. But just from a very early age, realizing that this was already happening, that the theology of the blood of Jesus as the forgiveness of our sin was beginning in my little boys and girl. And then the church does its part in this also. And then a final passage I want to look at is Proverbs 22:6. And this is a classic passage on parenting. And this works has to do with what our church does as well. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he and she should go, and when he or she grows older, they will not abandon it. I want to talk about this. Some of us right now, this is going to be very liberating for you. You've probably heard this passage, and maybe it's encouraged you to do your best. Maybe it's made you feel like a failure. And you might think, well, I tried, and I'm doing the thing, and my, like, you know, all my kids care about is, you know, Harry Potter or whatever, you know. And that doesn't mean you're a failure at all. It's really important with this verse to know what is your part as the parent or teacher. You know, as a teacher too, if you teach in, you know, school, you know, talk to Bill or Christy, or talk to Laura, you know, or talk to Megan, talk to one of these people that it's like you care so much about teaching these kids quadratic equations, and they just don't seem to care at all. And it can frustrate you, and it can frustrate you in kids' church when you're sharing the life-giving truths of the gospel with these children, and they don't seem to care. And it can frustrate you as a parent when you're sharing the things that have saved your life and made you who you are, and it seems like, I don't know if my kids really care about it. And it's just really important, guys, to know what is your part and what is their part, okay? So we do our best. We set the table, but they choose to eat. And that's how it is. We're not robots, and our kids are not robots. So your job is not to force feed your children. Now, you can deliberately and passionately make them a great meal, but they must come and eat. Church is the same way, by the way. I'm just up here, but the pressure's not on me every Sunday, because my job is to do the best I can teaching and leading you into the ways of God and inviting the Spirit. But whether or not each of us decides to eat is up to us. So we set the table, but they have to choose to eat. And this scripture does not say, train them up in the way they should go. They are little robots you program, and everything you try to teach them, they're going to do. They have to find it for themselves, and that's okay. Didn't you? I mean, do you remember when you were struggling to try to figure out what the heck the truth was and how you were going to live your life? And so that's okay. You and I are tutors. We are tutors to bring the younger generation into the ways of God. And one day, it says in Genesis, that our children will leave and perhaps cleave, but they definitely will leave eventually. And that, I've found, is one of the hardest parts of parenting, is when you spend all this time, you know, there was a new baby in the church. Heather Fenton brought her little baby, and I got to hold the baby. It's been a few months since I held a baby. Thank you. I felt like someone was like, did something happen we don't know about? Like, no, we're not Abraham and Sarah, okay? Like, but, you know, it's, you know, you have this little tiny baby, and then they grow into men and women. And the time comes that they leave. And let me just take some pressure off of you parents and teachers and leaders in this church. You're not going to be 100% successful. It's okay. You're not. You're just called to do the best you can. And you are going to fail. You don't know what you're doing. I, as I said, had four kids. You know, 1 through 4, I learned a little more what I knew what I was doing. It wasn't until, I remember, in my 20s, 30s, I began to call my parents, and I said, I am so sorry. I remember when I called my dad at one point, and he just started laughing at me, because when I was a teenager, I put them through it. And I said, Dad, I just want you to know I'm so sorry for all these things. And he's like, oh, it's okay, Jeff. And you know, you just don't know what you're doing, you know, and it's okay for you to tell your kids that. It's okay for you to realize and appreciate and just accept that you're doing the best you can. And so you're not going to be successful in all your attempts. Your job is to come and set the table, okay? And here's the other thing. God was not successful in all his attempts either, and that's okay. And you're thinking, wait, who is the first human beings? Adam and Eve. Did they have a perfect father? Yes. Did they have perfect, idyllic situations with everything they needed? Absolutely. But they still chose to walk away. And if God can perfectly set the table for them, and because of their free choice, they can choose to go in another direction, then you haven't failed if you've messed up a bit or if your kids don't do exactly what perhaps you hope they do. And that's when it all comes into trusting. This verse, I remember, I have a friend named Billy, and We were talking one day many years ago, and it was when I was trying to figure out how to be a parent and realizing how I didn't know what I was doing. And we were talking about it, and he said, "Jeff, you can probably quote that verse, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't leave it, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, now it's time for you to decide if you believe that or not. So stop acting like you don't believe it. Just trust the process." You know, what it doesn't say here is, even when he grows older, that may be a long time until she, your daughter, or he, your son, starts coming back to some of those things. But it's not on you. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't burden you and you don't ache for it, but ultimately, it's about trusting our children back to God. So be encouraged in that. If you're a parent in this room, if you're a teacher, if you're a leader, if you've got, like, if you're wearing failure this morning, I would just say in the name of Jesus, you can ache, but, you know, like Robin Williams said, it's not your fault. You might have messed up, okay? But, like, this whole thing isn't on you. And you and I have to patiently wait and do the best we can and allow the Lord. You know what? One day I realized this. The Lord loves my wife way more than I do. That was a lot of pressure off me. And then another day I realized this. The Lord loves my kids way more than I do. And that's a lot of pressure off of me to have to become perfect. And it helps me weather my own failures and struggles as a parent with a lot of grace. So it's about trusting the Lord and looking at the long arc of our kids growing up. Amen? All right, I'm going to interview some of our leaders now. Casey and Vanessa, come on up. Let's give them a warm welcome. Where is that microphone? Here it is. It's okay. So you guys just kind of come in here so we can get you on the camera. Vanessa is, if you don't know, she's over our kids' church and handles a lot of things that happen. And then Casey is giving leadership to our youth ministry, ages 6 through 12. I'm going to give this to you ladies and just ask you a few questions. What happens in, tell us what happens in kids' church. Give us a short. And we're going to have them on the TV, by the way. Can we go ahead and do that? Yeah, this will help you guys who can't see this. There they are. Look, we're all wearing blue. Hey, look at us.
We match.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about a little bit about Kids Church, Vanessa. For someone who never came to church and they're like, you guys like do something to the kids back there for an hour and a half, what is it?
So it is not child care. Then if you call it child care, I get a little crazy-eyed on you. So just know that. Like, it's not child care. We are creating the same space for our kids that we are creating in here for us to encounter Jesus, to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, to learn about God, to fall in love with the Lord, to experience the love of God for us. And that's what it's all about. And so we do very similar things, only we do some games and some crafts, too. So we get a little bit more interactive. And we have from babies through fifth grade. We have classes, and we have stories, Bible stories that they hear. And then we worship together. Like, we sing the song, first song we sing, Narrow Road. We'll sing that songs like that. We'll sing some songs we sing in here and some that we don't sing in here. And we talk to the kids about what is worship. And every week that I'm in there doing worship, I'm like, hey, what's worship? Why are we doing this? And the kids raise their hands and tell us. And we're like, yeah, this is it. Like, this is why we're singing. It's fun. We do some motions. We dance. I love it. But it's about telling Jesus how much we love him. And we pray for each other. I love watching these kids pray for one another. We have ministry time in here. And we have ministry time in the kids' rooms. And we start with 30 seconds of listening to God, just so the kids learn that, hey, you know, you got to actually be quiet sometimes to hear from the Lord. We talk about how God speaks to us. And then we pray for each kid, and we give them an opportunity to say, this is what I want prayer for. And then some kids will go over and be like, can I put my hand on you? Can I pray for you? And sometimes the kids want to pray for one another. Like last week when I was in class, I had a couple kids who wanted to pray, but they were a little nervous, so they repeated after me. I prayed, and they prayed. And it's just really sweet. I've seen the Holy Spirit working through that so much. So it's just about inviting the Holy Spirit, letting him come, and having a lot of fun while we do it as well.
Well said. And Casey, tell us, what happens at youth group age 6 to 12, what happens in there Sunday nights?
Well, we do a recap of the service. We've encouraged all the kids to take notes.
During Sunday morning. Wow.
Yep. There's a little candy, you know, to motivate. And we've got a lot of note takers now. It's really amazing. and so we just want to reinforce that what happens in here is equally for them, that they are part of what we do on Sunday mornings, too. And we do some kind of message, usually, or a Bible study.
Don't they like worship?
Worship, yes. Yep. And then games. We play games, too, because kids like to have fun, and so do we. All youth leaders love it just as much. So, and sweet. I don't know. That's it. Oh, we feed them. We give them snacks, because that's a requirement.
Yeah. I love it. So what? And so tell us, and focusing a little more on the youth now, the ages, grades 6 to 12, tell us about youth camp. Tell us what happens at youth camp, this thing that we have these shirts, and next week. Tell us about what happens at youth camp.
What happens at youth camp is we abandon our cell phones for a few days, 4 to 5 days. This week, this year, it's 4 days. And just that act, guys, is so miraculous, just unplugging. And we get a different version of your kid when they come to camp unplugged. And then we set the table, just like Jeff was talking about, with sermons or testimonies, with worship. And we get to see and experience with your kids the presence of God show up in their lives and do cool things. We get to see them experiencing and encountering the love of Jesus. Get to see them ministering to each other, praying for each other, and also trying to push each other off of a dock out in the middle of the lake. So lots of fun and activity, and you're wore out, and you sleep in a tent, it's so much fun. But the presence of God is what makes camp special, and Amen. We feel it every year on the drive, heading up Washington Road towards Appling. It's like we drive through the glory cloud.
You know, it really is that way. And I would say, like, I think probably most of the people in this room, you're here. Like, you might like the messages. You might like the coffee. You might like the vibe. I think the thing most of us come here and stay here for is because you know God is here working. Mm-hmm. And our youth group and our kids' ministry, it's no different. Yeah. We must have the presence of God working, or we're wasting our time. And I would just tell you that these ladies in their respective ministries are really just doing this and saying, Lord, we imperfectly welcome you and to come and do your perfect work. Two other questions, and then I'll let you ladies go. What would you say is one of the hardest parts of this ministry? The sanitized version.
Are you sorry?
If you're ready, you can go. I need a second.
There's fruit, but I may never see the fruit. And I think that is hard.
That's good.
Like, you might see the fruit at home, but I might never see it. Or you might see the fruit in your adult children. And so that can be hard. It can be discouraging. You have to look for these nuggets, like at camp and, these times when, you know, a kid comes up to you and says, the Lord's doing this thing in me, or a kid you've been praying for a long time says, God's really working on my heart. We've had some of those moments. Those are little nuggets, and we just hold on to them and put them in our pocket and trust that God is working whether I can see it or not.
Mm, so good.
I mean, really the hardest part is having enough volunteers. But... And making a schedule, that's hard.
Because you have 50 or 60.
Need about 50 to 60.
That's amazing. So it's like everybody here.
So that people can serve once a month and go and be at church the other times. Right. So that's why we have so many, so we can rotate. I don't know. Like, there's so many beautiful things about the ministry. I think the hard part is wanting these kids to experience God for themselves, and you're doing everything you can, but knowing it's not in your control, and ultimately you do have to trust God with it, like, that's hard, because just like you for parents, like Jeff was just talking about, like, it's the same for us as we teach and lead and the youth leaders. It's like, we want so much for you to know what, like, I wish you could learn some of the things I've learned later in life before you go through all the hard things I went through.
Yeah.
I want to protect you from some of the hard ways I had to learn the things I learned. But you have to experience God. This is for you kids and teens. You get to experience God, and you have to experience God for yourself. And there's nothing we can do to make that happen. But I do believe the Bible says that if you seek God with all your heart, you will find him. And I believe that's true for you too. So my encouragement to you kiddos today and you teenagers today is seek God. And if you're coming to youth camp, come ready to seek God, because he has good things for you.
Well said. Yeah. Last question. Conversely, what's the most rewarding thing? I know you kind of said some of it there, but what is the most rewarding thing about this ministry to kids and youth in this church and beyond?
Yeah, it's bearing witness, getting to bear witness to the lives of kids who are growing in faith or struggling with faith or whatever, but it's an honor to be a part. It's an honor to be part of what God's doing in the next generation, and being a champion for that and advocating for them and just speaking truth. Like, that's an honor that we get to speak truth into the lives of our youth. So that's rewarding.
Yeah, with kids ministry, it's so rewarding when you see a kid who is excited about something God's doing, and when they're like, look how God answered my prayer, or this is something I learned about God. I remember when Abby Miller was in kids church, she'd come in and tell me stories about how she experienced God that week, and I was like, this is beautiful. I'd be like, tell everyone else, testify. So just hearing the kids have their own moments at their own age, and like, this is from the littlest kids to the older kids, like, we each get to experience God. And so just helping them to, like, helping teach them to look for those things and helping acknowledge and let them testify of those things.
Yeah, yeah, so good. These are two amazing women. They really are. I can't thank you both enough for what you do. I mean, you're amazing at what you do, and you're also great people, and your sisters, and I love you both a ton. And it's an honor to work with them. I love staff meeting is always a hoot. Them and Zoe, we just like 2 hours go by and I'm getting chill bumps. It's really a blessing. So I just want you to know we have a great team. This church is blessed with this team. I want to ask all of our regular Sunday youth leaders to stand up. We're going to ask a blessing on you. So just the youth leaders. Some of you guys are wearing blue. Juan, you can stand too. You know you're there. Who else? We got 6 or 7. Some of them are not here. Some of them are here. Are they all standing? All right. Now, I want to ask anyone who's also going to youth camp this week to stand up, because I know we've got several people cooking, extras. You kids can stand, I guess, too. I wasn't calling for the kids, but some of you guys stood.
Let's pray for them.
So we want to pray. We're going to pray for the teenagers later, but I want to pray for these adults specifically. They're taking their vacation time, they're giving 4 days of their life and more to the next week. So I want to pray for them, and you guys could just maybe extend a hand toward these folks. Holy Spirit, we ask you to move this in this church, in these ministries, in kids' church and in youth, and we particularly invite you to move this week in youth camp, and I pray that you would empower, refresh, envision, embolden every person going to serve, and knowing that we are giving ourselves to something that is going to bear eternal fruit, and it's just fun and it's exhausting, but we just say we're up to the task. We want to be there and serve. So would you bless this team and bless this camp? Do all you want to do. May your kingdom come, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys can have a seat. Let's give a big thanks to that team. Now, our final part, we're gonna I'm gonna interview a few kids, and then we're gonna pray for all the kids and give a few awards. So I need I asked four kids if I could interview them, and they all said yes. So you guys all come up. Let's give them a warm welcome. Yay! All right, why don't we start with Bree? Come on up, Bree. You can just face that way. I'm going to hold this because a lot of times if I let people hold it, they do this the whole time. They don't. So I'm just going to hold this right here, and we're just going to have a conversation. Come a little closer. Awesome. Bree.
Yes.
What's your name?
Brianna.
Brianna, not Brianna. What'd you have for breakfast today?
Banana.
A banana?
That was it, yeah.
Did it have any green or was it spotty?
It was spotty.
That's the right... How old are you, Bree?
I am 17.
17? And what grade are you in?
I finished 11th.
Wow, senior. Your favorite subject?
Like school
subject? Yeah, school subject.
Math.
Math, why?
Because it's just fun.
Math is fun. Your favorite color?
Yellow.
Yellow, why is yellow your favorite color?
Just a bright, happy color.
All right. What's your favorite flavor ice cream?
Vanilla. I'm plain.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Firefighter.
Tell us a thing or two you like about this church.
This is just a really wonderful community that's seen me through some hard times, and it's just so welcoming here, and everybody just cares for you, and it's one big family that lasts a lifetime.
Tell us one thing you like about youth group.
The same thing, it's my family, and it's people I can lean on, and we get to walk together in our walk with Christ, and sometimes holding hands, and others just kind of holding each other up.
Tell us something, one thing about youth camp that's interesting.
The unplugging, I think, is really important because we're unplugging and we get to escape from like our daily struggles and get to come together and just learn a lot and grow together.
What's the first thing you think about when I bring up God to you? What's the first thing you think about?
Just how sweet he is. He's just right here. Get to hold his hand all the time.
Yeah. Thank you. Tiernan, you're next. Tiernan, all right. Your name?
I'm Tiernan.
We knew that. And what'd you have for breakfast? Wait, I'm gonna guess. You had oatmeal.
No,
you had crepes. You had crepes. Yeah. See, I know these kids. Crepes. Your age and school grade?
I'm in 7th grade, but I'm going to 8th grade.
Okay, so you're in 8th grade.
Yeah.
All right.
And I go to Davidson Fine Arts.
Sweet, sweet. And how old are you?
I'm 12, but 12? I'm turning 13 in a week.
Oh, he's going to be at birth. Happy birthday, dear Tiernan. Happy birthday to you. Favorite subject in school?
Social studies.
Why?
Because it's easy.
Come a little closer. Tell us your favorite animal.
A leopard.
Why?
Because it's a type of cat.
Cats. Nice. What do you think you might want to be when you grow up?
I'm an engineer.
An engineer? What kind?
A civil engineer.
Civil? So like building roads and bridges and stuff?
Yeah.
Do you have Legos?
Yeah.
Okay. Legos are like rocking Legos. I'm 53. I still play with Legos. Yeah. Tell us something you like about this church.
The people were nice.
Good job, folks. And tell us something you like about youth group. I didn't prepare these kids with these questions, by the way. So this is all off the cuff.
I just like the games.
Nice. And you're going to youth camp?
Yeah.
Is it hot there?
Yeah.
Did you know this week, it's the low is 59 this week? So you guys are going to be more comfortable. What's the first thing you think about when you think of God?
I think of church.
Sweet. You've been here since you were a little baby. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite Bible verse or one that like you think of more than others? Maybe paste it on your window. If you don't, that's okay.
No, not really.
Not okay. Let me ask this: what do you think the biggest thing you're learning right now that God is teaching you in your life?
I would just say the golden rule: like treat everybody how you want to be treated.
Good stuff. Yeah, Matthew 7:12. Excellent job. Have a seat. Let's give him a hand. Good job. Abby Miller, come on down. Hey.
Hi.
Your name?
Abby Gill. Rain Miller.
What's for breakfast?
Some homemade bars that mom made.
Oh, chocolate ones?
Yeah.
Man, they're good too.
And what? No, they're not dessert.
And your favorite subject in school?
I like science.
Why?
Because it's fun to learn about how the world works. I especially like astronomy.
Yes, you do.
I would do a second course on it, even though I did one in fifth grade.
What is your favorite animal?
I like cats, but also, I don't know. I like cats a lot.
Tell us about your cat.
His name is Pippin. I've also kind of been brainwashed into liking hedgehogs a lot just because I'm really into Sonic.
What do you think you might like to do when you grow up, maybe like 10 years from now, what can you see yourself? You got any like visions and dreams?
I like plants. I wouldn't mind growing plants when I grow up. I already am growing soybeans in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, you are. And tell us something you like about this church, other than that you get to ring the bell every Sunday.
It just seems really genuine.
Hmm.
And you're sometimes really brave when you preach. No, always.
That's great. What about like youth group? Tell us like what Abby really loves going to youth group. Why do you want to? What do you like about youth group?
Youth group is like it's just really. There's something really fun about it because, like, we play games. Then we also compound more about the sermon.
Yeah, and tell us a Bible verse that's helped you.
John 3:17. Not 16, but 17.
Oh, yeah. Do you know? I think I know what that says. But
For God's not come into the world to judge it, but to save it. Something like that.
It's pretty good, guys. It's pretty good. Go ahead.
Youth group is really fun, although I honestly wish sometimes that there people would get off their phones a little bit. Casey even makes up songs about it.
Trying to get them off their phones.
I have a do not disturb on my phone.
Hey, yeah, I think you got some preaching gift going on right now. Little inheritance. Last question. What do you think maybe God is doing in this season of your life?
I don't know about too much, but I've been trying to do Bible study a little more diligently.
Really?
Yes.
How do you do that more diligently?
Well, I tried to discipline myself more to actually do my read my Bible study stuff for the day, do my devotional for the day, instead of forget about it.
Cool. That's pretty good. Thanks, Abby. Let's give her a hand. Penelope, come on down. You all right?
Yeah.
All right. Tell us your name.
I'm Penelope.
What does Penelope mean? That's a beautiful name. Great job.
Dreamweaver?
Yes, I looked it up. Oh. It was like one that dreams. What? How old are you? What grade are you in?
I'm going into 10th grade. I'm 15.
And you go to school with this guy, right?
I do.
Do you ever see him in the hallway?
All the time.
Do you fist bump him?
All the time.
Excellent, excellent. What's your favorite subject?
Science.
Why?
Because I really, really, really like science.
That's a good reason to like science, because you really like science.
Oh yeah.
I like that. If you could be one animal, what would it be?
Oh, wow. I'd either be a shark or a bird.
Nice. Nice. And what's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Cookie dough.
Good one. Had it recently. What do you want to be when you grow up? Maybe. Maybe. Just maybes. The concrete is not totally dry yet.
I want to be a pediatric nurse in the ER.
Sweet. You'd be really good at that.
Thank you.
I think so. You have been here a few years in
Almost,
this church.
Yeah.
What do you like about Vineyard Community Church?
I really like how I can just talk to people. Like, I used to be really scared to talk to people with, like, going to other churches. Like, but here, I can talk to you. You're my pastor, and I talk to you. That's still crazy to me. And I talk to, like...
I don't smell bad now.
And I talk to just, like, everybody, and there's not really any judgment because I'm a kid. It's just, like...
Yeah, not at all. No, we're glad you're here. What do you hope happens at youth camp next week? What do you like? What, if you could have one thing happen, what would it be? Aside from the bus and salad bar.
I really hope that I can kind of figure some things out within myself, like, but with God, because I feel like I kind of lean on other people to, like, who among you cares about me enough to tell me what's wrong with me, right? But I feel like.
Did you just say who among you cares enough about me to tell me what's wrong with me?
Yeah, and that's kind of the mindset I've had.
Can everyone in this room do that? We will grow. All right. Yeah, so you want to get some like revelation from God?
Yeah, I want to be able to figure things out without having to.
That's pretty good.
Reach out. Just
yeah.
Reach out to God.
So the Lord speak to you just unfiltered. Mm-hmm. What do you think of? What's the first thing you think of when you think about God?
Think about, like, I guess the struggles I've had, but not in a way like, oh, I'm so ashamed of like what I've done. I'm just like, dang, like it's crazy to me. Like, he's still my brother. He's still there. He cares about me. He talks to me all the time, no matter what I'm doing, no matter like how I am. He's always there, and it's like, dang, okay. Because I don't know. I guess the forgiveness. For me, that he has is like crazy to me.
Yeah, like I can't get away from you and I don't want to get away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Of course.
All right. We're going to recognize you guys did great. You guys can have a seat now back in your spot. Let's give them another hand. I don't think we've ever done the floor stomp in the history of the church. Can we do that? Yeah. And stop. All right, we're going to recognize three of our kids either graduating out of high school or moving into middle school slash youth age. And I'm going to invite you three up and say a few words to each of you, and then we're going to pray for all the youth in the church. So let's give a very warm welcome to Jaden, Reese, and Jacob. Come on up. Yeah! What's up, man? That's a PRV guitar. I like that. Hey, guys. What's going on? You want to stand next to her, or have you had enough of her? That's okay. So we have a gift for you, and then we're going to pray for all the youth, and we're going to have you guys stay here. So I just have a few words to say to each of you. You're graduating.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. So, Jaden, I did some study on the word Jaden, and Jaden is in Nehemiah 3:7. Your name, it's the Hebrew is Yadon, and that's where the Celtic or English name that we call Jaden came from. So it's J-A-D-O-N in Nehemiah, but their pronunciation would be Yadon. Let's all say that, Yadon. So your name has biblical origin, and I think it's prophetic for your life, and I'm going to tell you what it means. It's Nehemiah 3:7. Yadon Jaden in the Bible was a man that was devoted to rebuilding the wall around the holy city of Jerusalem. And this is a time in the history of Israel when God's people were scattered and their worship was disrupted, and there were leaders that came and said, "We believe that in the midst of this dark Babylon," which the scripture says this is Babylon all around us now, "that I'm calling men and women to come and build my house and build a wall and protect my ways." And Yadon, Jaden, was one of those guys that said, "I'll do it. I'll build that wall. I'll give my life toward this." And the word Yadon, Jaden, is rooted in Yada, which is a word that means praise. It means to, especially, by the way, this word, and this is one of the reasons we hold our hands. The worship in the Old Testament, praise, means to lift your hands. It literally means lift your hands. So your name is rooted in a word that means to hold out one's hand in praise. So for you, as you go into adulthood, I just would tell you, in the name of Jesus, you are a wall builder. You are a truth bearer. You are a protector of what's right in a dark world. And you are one that spend your life and your decisions and do things that give praise to God. And when you do that, he will lift you up and he will prosper you. He'll fill your life with wonder and beauty. Amen. This is Jaden. We have a Bible for you, and I know what percentage of people use a phone Bible most of the time? Raise your hand. No judging. What percentage of people use a print Bible most of the time? So we're like half and half. So we thought the best gift we could give is, you probably have 6 Bibles, but we are going to give you a new Bible for adulthood with your name on it, and may you wear it out. Be blessed. Thank you. All right, you stay right here because we're going to pray for you in a couple minutes.
Great.
All right. Reese. Yeah. You're graduating. Now, I had the pleasure of knowing you since you were really little, so this is really amazing. Wow. And you are going away. Yeah, we will miss you. So pray for those that you're going away, maybe. Maybe. We're not sure. So pray for these kids. Pray for these kids. So I did some research on your name. It is Welsh. Did you know that? Reese is R-Y-S-E is how they spelled it over there. It's a Welsh name. And what a beautiful name you have. The word Reese means ardent. And ardent means zealous, fiery, eager to support. It can also mean fiery and hot. I don't know, maybe mom and dad would say, "Girl, that's that girl." I don't know. You could say an ardent son, as you're using this word ardent to describe a son, or somebody that had really, really beautiful eyes. You could say they have ardent, fiery, beautiful, glowing eyes. So yeah, you have this name that means ardent. It means zealous, as I said, eager, fiery. And I would just encourage you that you're going to go do something amazing. You come from amazing grandparents, and you come from amazing parents who Mike and Megan are two people that anything they picked to do, I think they do it, and they get an A+. They just have that kind of drive and passion and commitment. And you've got that seed in you of being a person like that. So I want to encourage you as you go from here, follow your dreams. They are of God. And there's a fire in you. And your challenge, just like with Jaden, is you have to take that fire and you have to point it and make sure you're pointing it. Take that zeal, that reese, that ardence you have in you, that passion, that drive, that energy, that emotion. And emotion isn't bad. Just you want to direct it. And you want to take that thing that God's put in you and you want to direct it to the right thing. And when you do that, Reese, you're going to see the blessing of God is just going to fall on your life so much that you're going to just say, I can't believe my life is so blessed. And it could only be God that did this for me. So take that fire, Reese, fiery one, ardent one, and point it toward Jesus. And you're going to have a beautiful life. So we're proud of you. Yeah. Great job. Let's give her a hand. We have a Bible. Casey's telling each kid about the special QR code that gets them a free Snicker bar with their Bible, right? All right, hang up here. Hang on up here. We're going to pray for you. Jacob, sixth grade. Wow. Right? Am I right?
Yeah.
I better be, because you're up here. So, Jacob, I wonder, do you know what your name means? I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. And so Jacob means one that follows closely. And the story of Jacob in the Bible, there's lots of Jacobs in the Bible. Jacob, by the way, in translated in the New Testament, is James. So anytime you see a James, that's a Jacob. And the Hebrew name Jacob, translated into to Greek, is James. So Jacob means one that follows closely. The first guy in the Bible named Jacob was really important. So you have a really neat, powerful name. He was one of the greatest, what they call patriarch. Can we say that? Patriarch. He was a father of the faith. Good job. He was a father of the faith. He really, really, really did a lot to lead other people. And eventually, your name, Jacob, became a synonym for the people of Israel. So they would say the people of Jacob, the God of Jacob is what they would say. And there's a lot of things Jacob did, but the one I just want to encourage you with is you move into your young manhood. How old are you? 11. Who remembers being 11? Yeah. You got some amazing years that are about to come up. You're going to get bigger than your dad, and you're going to be able to take him down. It's going to happen, okay? Just keep doing your push-ups. And you're going to learn a lot. The things you learn in the next 5 or 6 years are going to be some of the most important things ever in your life. And here's something else, and this is for all three of you. The things you do in the next 5 or 6 years are going to determine the course of your life. They really are. The decisions and values you embrace. So Jacob, one of my favorite things that your namesake did in the Bible is he wanted to wrestle with God, and he won. Can you believe it? So Jacob was a guy, most of us in this room, maybe you know, he wanted God's blessing, and he just felt like, God, I can't find you. Where are you? And he said, I'm going to wrestle. And God sent an angel, and he said, I'm going to hold on to that angel, and I'm not letting him go until he gives me a blessing. And they fought all night. And finally, the angel's like, I'm tired of this guy, Jacob. He won't let me go. So he punched him in the side, and he gave him like a little bit of a limp. And he said, that's going to be a sign of my blessing on you because you fought so hard. And for you, Jacob, may this be your life as you grow into a young man. Fight hard. Seek God's blessing over everything else, it's the best thing you can seek. And when you seek that, like Jacob in the Bible, he's going to bless you, and you're going to do great things. So we're super proud of you for moving into sixth grade youth age, and we believe in you, and we have a Bible for you. Also, let's give Jacob a hand. Super. All right. Well, let's do this. I'm going to invite all youth to come up here. Ready, go. And we're going to close the service. All youth, get on up here. All youths. And I need you guys now to spread out in a big line going this way. Ready, go. Wow, look at all these kids. This includes the graduating youth. You guys can spread out there because we're going to have people pray for you next. So you guys spread into a straight line. This is your first test of the day. Spread into a straight line. There we are. Yeah, they can face, face either way you want. We don't care. I love it. All right. Look at all these amazing kids. Let's all stand now. I need all adults, everyone to stand. And I'm going to ask you guys to come forward and pray. So I'd like one or two adults praying for each kid. So come on up, and then I'm going to close and let you guys pray. So come on up. Find one that maybe looks like you can relate to or can't. Sometimes it's the one you don't feel any affinity with that you'll make the most cool connection with. You can get in front of them or behind them. Spin around. It's messy. Just come on up here. Clutter the area. It doesn't matter. And we went a minute long today, so I appreciate everyone's patience, but this is worthy. All right, I'm going to start a prayer, and then I'm going to let you guys go, and then we will dismiss. Holy Spirit, come among us, come upon us. Be baptized again in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, your word says that on the young and the old, you'll pour out your spirit as fire, that they will see visions and dream dreams, signs in the heavens, take your name and your gospel to the furthest part of the earth, whether that's the neighborhood or a college campus or another state. And we just affirm your calling. We affirm your calling on the next generation, and we are for them. Kids, we're for you. You're an important part of this church. We are so glad that you're seeking after Jesus. It's so wonderful and so encouraging to us. So, Father, bless and fill each of these kids, and may their purpose and for being on this planet just be further known to them in this season of their lives. We bless them. Now, I'm going to release you guys to pray specifically for whoever you're praying on. So do that. And all the rest of us, amen. Go in peace. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you. You guys take your time praying in the front for the kids.